Well, if anyone of you knows me well enough, you will know that one of the things I hate doing, really amongst all things, is the dishes. I hate doing dishes so much. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Maybe I was traumatized as a child by a dish. I don't know what happened, but I just really, really hate them. It's like almost like my relationship with the dish changes as soon as it gets dirty. Like, I'm all fine with it, and then it gets dirty, and I'm just like, who are you? Just get away from me. You disgust me. Now, obviously, this means I don't do the dishes very much, and thankfully, the Lord has given me a wife who is more than gracious to me in this area, and she's very helpful. But sometimes I'll just, like, leave dishes kind of lying around. And I remember one day she confronted me, and she said, honey, like, she's very gracious, honey, I noticed that you've been leaving your dishes kind of stacked up. Do you mind if you just put them in the dishwasher when they're dirty? And I explained to her, that's inefficient. And what I'm doing here is I'm stacking them up so that I don't have to open up every time I have one dish. Then I can just open up once and then put them all on together, right? It saves time. You're not wearing out the hinges of the dishwasher. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I started trying to do that, and I was doing okay for a little bit. But then, you know, I started to fail, and the dishes would pile up again, and she would end up having to do them. And she would remind me, and she'd say, honey, remember you said you were going to put the dishes in the dishwasher right away? I said, oh, okay, that's right. And I would hear her. I don't know if I was listening, but I was hearing her, and I was understanding it, and I wanted to change. I did. I wanted to be different. And I tried, but then I found after a little bit, I would go back to doing the same thing again, and probably just because I forgot. And again, if you know me, you'll know that I'm notorious for just forgetting things. Like, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. I can't. Like, I'm so bad at remembering things. I'm just very forgetful. And so I would always forget, and I think this is very common, that even though you want to do something and you know you should do something, sometimes you almost, like, forget, and it doesn't get done. And that's why I'm telling you the story, because it actually connects in what we're studying in the book of James. Because you see, we've been going through the book of James this summer, and we've been covering kind of one section at a time as we go through this. And it talks about listening versus doing, and it talks about forgetting. Actually, this morning on the news, they shared a story, a very sad story, of a child, of two children, twins that were in New York that were left in the car, and they ended up dying from being left in the car. And apparently 52 kids in the United States died last year because of this, and they were interviewing a psychologist because apparently, you know, it was legit. Like, the dad went to work and forgot his kids, that he didn't drop them off at school. And the psychologist said, actually, it's even though we judge and we think, how could you ever do that? He says, actually, it's quite common, and it's quite easy, just how the human brain works and how it functions, that we forget even important things sometimes just because it happens. And so James talks about that, and so I want us to listen, because I think there's some important lessons here for us today. It begins verse 22, and we're going to read until verse 25. This is what God's Word says. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now here James is making a good point. If you just listen to the Bible, but you don't actually do anything about it, well, you're missing the point. The point is to do something about it. And many of us, I think, we do this. We think that if we listen to God's Word, or even if we understand it, or better yet, not just understand it, but even want to do something about it, then we have accomplished what we came to do, and that is good enough. But according to the Bible, that is not good enough, not even in the slightest. Apparently, you have to actually turn that into obedience. You actually have to be a doer, not just a hearer, to do what the Bible says. And often it compares us with a person that's forgetful, like a person that looks at their face in the mirror and then goes away and then forgets what they saw. And what James is trying to communicate here through this illustration is that what a person who in the moment looked at themselves in the mirror, what they experienced in that moment, it does not have any lasting effect on them, right? It kind of goes away and it's forgotten. For how can someone, if they saw themselves in a mirror and saw something significant, how could they not allow that to change them? And the only answer is if they were to forget. Like, let's say you look at yourself in the mirror and you see this particular morning you have like a huge red pimple like right on your head. It's massive. It's like a third eye. Like, you can't ignore it. Everyone else sees it. Now, if you saw this and you remembered when you went out, you would clearly do something about it. Like, perhaps you were getting passport photos that day, or I think that's a bad example. You don't care what you look like on your passport. You were getting photos, let's say, of some kind, and you were going to pay for it. Well, maybe you would change your plans and not get your photograph taken that day because of the pimple. Or perhaps you would go out, and if you remembered what you had seen earlier, you would go and buy some acne cream when you were at the store. Or maybe later on when you're talking with your friends and their eyes keep drifting up to your forehead, you would remember, yes, it's because I have a huge pimple on my forehead, and maybe you would address it in the conversation. You'd laugh about it, make light of it, something like that. But you'd kind of break the tension. However, if you were someone who forgot their reflection immediately after you left, then you would still take your photos. You would not buy your acne cream. You would be very confused. Why do people keep looking up at my forehead? You know, why aren't people paying attention to me? I mean, you wouldn't know why this was happening. See, it's not enough to just hear something or understand something in the moment. You have to actually process it, and it has to be remembered. It has to be taken in and internalized. And what does the Bible say here will be the result if we do this with God's word? It says it's going to result in blessed action. Just take a look at verse 25. It says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." See, those who hear God's word and remember it and do it, they're going to be blessed in the things that they do, because it's actually going to be able to trickle down into their lives. It's going to be able to affect their thoughts and their actions as they go about their day-to-day lives. Just consider Psalm 112. This is a great psalm because it's a psalm that's talking about somebody who hears God's word and actually does it, actually tries to live it out, and sort of the life that they live as a result of that. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing." See, those who not just listen to the word of God, but actually apply it to their lives, who are, as the scripture would say, are righteous, it shows itself, and their lives are blessed, and the things that they do, their actions, are blessed. Therefore, our lives, if we follow God's word, our lives will be blessed, and those around us will be blessed through our lives. You see, a lot of people think that Christianity is about teaching. They think it's a teaching religion. And therefore, the job of a good Christian would be learning. So we are to take in information. And we sometimes make a big mistake, and it's a big mistake. We equate maturity with increased knowledge. But according to the Bible, maturity is increased obedience. And there's a world of difference between knowledge and obedience. Our faith isn't about learning, it's about obeying. And this is summarized very well in a story that was once told by Dr. Timothy Keller. I read it in a book once, and I quote, he said, "My brother-in-law would never wear a seatbelt in the car. I berated him for it. Then one day he picked me up at the airport, and he had a seatbelt on. And I asked what happened. I said, what changed you? He said, I went to visit a friend of mine in the hospital who was in a car accident, and he went through the windshield. He had 200 or 300 stitches in his face. And I said to myself, I'd better wear my seatbelt. Keller said, well, did you know that if you didn't wear your seatbelt that you would go through the windshield if you got into an accident? He replied, of course I knew it. When I went to the hospital to see my friend, I didn't get any new information, but the information I had became new. The information got into my heart and finally sank down and actually affected my life. See, my friends, it's so possible to know God's word, to even understand it and the implications of God's word or not following God's word very clearly, yet to not obey. It is very possible to have that. This may seem crazy to us, like how could that be possible? But believe me, it is very common. In fact, human beings have a certain capacity, a certain large capacity to be able to do this. In fact, I see this a lot in our education system. I can't speak to most of our education system, but I can speak to Bible college and seminaries since that's kind of my experience. And what I discover is that, especially after being part of a process that helps take Bible college graduates and approve them to become pastors, what I notice is that Bible schools and seminaries, they teach a lot of knowledge about the theology and about the Bible. And it produces people that have a lot of knowledge about theology and the Bible. But usually the character is lacking. It's not very deep. And that kind of a person can lead somebody to know the right things, to think the right things. But often those kinds of pastors find it difficult to actually lead people to transformation and to self-change. And I think this is very common in much of our faith, right? Sometimes our churches are even set up like this. And the information just stays in our head and it never takes that 10-inch journey from our head to our hearts. I know it doesn't seem very far, but man, I tell you, sometimes that's the furthest distance in the universe for things to travel. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. I noticed this a lot when I used to be in small groups. So small groups is like a small version of a church. I guess you get together with other people, and usually you have something you're studying. Instead of a sermon, it's usually like a book. And so one or two chapters would be assigned a week. And so you'd go and you'd read that chapter, and you'd come together, and you'd discuss it. Usually on a Wednesday night. It's important. It's the best small group night. It's halfway between the Sunday service. Anyways, we'll get into that. So we gather on a Wednesday night. If you're in Ontario, there'll probably be ice cream involved. But you gather together and... there's a joke. Someone got it. And you would talk about what you learned. And you would discuss it and you would think about the nuances of it and all those kinds of things. And then you'd get assigned the next chapter. And usually you would leave there and you would be sort of overwhelmed with all this information. And you probably wouldn't have much time to actually like process it or apply it to your life or to live it out. And then you'd go and you'd have to read the next chapter or two and then come back. And it seemed like I was getting smarter through this process, but I wasn't getting any better. You know, and so I see this kind of happening all the time. I think this is why it's so totally possible for someone to come to church for 20 years or longer and sing the songs and hear the messages and hang out with the people and have very little life change. You know, I used to be shocked by this when I first became a pastor because, you know, I got to know people who had been in church for a long time. Some people like 30, 40 years, their whole lives. And yet I didn't think they looked very much like Jesus. And I wondered, I said, well, how is that even like possible? Now, over time, and especially for my own life, seeing it work itself out, I get it now. I don't judge these people anymore. I try to help them. I have empathy for them. In fact, I think one of the easiest places to hide from Jesus is right in church. Because you have an illusion, right, that by learning about Jesus or learning about God, you will know God. But you just end up knowing about him. You don't know him, right? And again, big difference. The difference between the head and the heart. Do I know about Jesus or do I know Jesus, right? And I see this all the time. It's very possible. Sometimes our churches are set up very much this way. But this is why James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. See, James is saying here, if just listening to the word, you can very easily deceive yourself into thinking that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that you're living the Christian life, right? And we got to remember, James here, the author of the book of James, he is writing to committed followers of Jesus. These are people that probably had grown up with the Bible and had memorized large sections of the Bible since childhood. And yet these people are not doers of the word. Well, perhaps some of them are, but he's definitely imploring them that, listen, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And so I think a lot of people today, we deceive ourselves too, thinking learning about God is what he wants from us. But actually, God wants so much more from us than our intellect and our attendance. I'll say that again. God wants so much more from us than our intellect and our attendance. Do you know what he wants? He wants your heart. And he's never going to be satisfied with anything less than your heart. And so if you feel like God is just pursuing you, and he's on your back and he won't get off and you can't get away from him, it's because he wants your heart and you haven't given it to him. And he's looking for it. That's the 10-inch journey. Now most people like to think that, well, they're rational people, right? This is a mistake. We think that we lead with our heads and we bring our hearts in line. But actually, the truth is, most of us, we lead with our hearts and we tow our brains in behind us, right? We don't like to admit that. It seems irrational or unscientific or something like that. Silly, maybe. But this is true. Research shows time and time again that people usually just use their intellect to intellectually justify and to give reason to that which they already want to believe in their hearts. What I found out in life is a truism: people usually get what they want. You know, you want something, you want to believe something, or you want this, you want that, and you do whatever it takes to get there. You don't question it, and you use your mind to justify it. This is why debate is not very helpful, right? Because when you start to debate something, usually people just get more ossified and ingrained in their original thought, right? What started off as just like an intellectual idea, like, I think I prefer this thing. In the end, becomes this heart conviction because you're invested in it because you've been defending it. And when you're forced to defend something, you get attached to it in your heart, and then you don't even care anymore. This is the way it is, and believe me, I'll make it make sense. So one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, how can mere words on a page, like if we're talking about the Bible here, how can words on a page change our hearts? If it's really about our hearts and not our heads. If our hearts are the avenue to obedience, how can just words change our hearts? And the truth is that they can't. Just words alone cannot change our hearts. They can change our heads, but not our hearts. What's interesting is when James talks about the word, when we hear words, we right away we think of like letters, a combination of letters. But that's not what he's referring to here. What James is referring to is not just the Bible. He's referring to the very mind and heart of God. That's interesting. That's different, right? And yeah, sure, some of that is encaptured in the Bible in actual combinations of letters. But the truth of the matter is that the Word of God, the thought and the mind of God, has been encaptured not in a book, but in a person. Right? It has a face. And who is this person? This person, of course, is Jesus. And this is how the Apostle John describes Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Friends, it's hard for words to capture our hearts and therefore capture our obedience. Because obedience comes from the heart. But a person can capture our hearts. And therefore, a person can capture our obedience. Words, those are easily forgotten. But no one ever forgets a face. Isn't that why James uses this example of the word? Well, yes, you can forget letters, but it's hard to forget the face. And the face of the Word of God is Jesus himself. And so when you look to the face of Jesus, he captures your heart. And when he captures your heart, he gets your mind with your heart. See that? When you see Jesus doing the things that the Bible tells you to, that is only when you can be empowered to do those things. When you see Jesus caring for the sick and the hungry. When you see Jesus healing. When you see Jesus overcoming temptation. When you see Jesus trusting in God the Father, even amidst suffering and great challenges. When you see that, you can do that. When you see our beautiful Jesus on the cross, making a sacrifice for you out of love, it does something to you. I mean, sometimes I'll go on these prayer retreats, and I love to watch Jesus movies. You know, like, or you know, like, there's old school ones, like Jesus Christ Superstar and stuff like that. But they got some modern ones that are really good. Some of them are on Netflix, too. And I like it because I can see the face of Jesus. Obviously, it's not real Jesus, but it is a personification of like this person of Jesus. And I feel more, being a visual person, and not an audible person, I can learn from that, and I can see that, and it captures my heart more. And when I can just see Jesus healing someone or like teaching a lesson, I can receive that lesson that much more. And so I encourage you to look onto the face of Jesus. And God can help us. His very Spirit helps us to understand and to grasp Him and to see Him as He really is. And then He will have your heart. And when He has your heart, He will have your obedience in all of you. And all that 20 years of church knowledge that you've had and those Bible verses that you've memorized and you've tucked away, they will come in and they will become living truths. And people will see that in your life. And then they will say, there is someone who has been changed by God. I want what they have. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for all these things that I just talked about, Lord, that You would do these things in our lives. Help us in our weakness to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Lord, I pray that You would take even the things we learned today and make them take that journey, that long, arduous journey, even though it's just 10 inches, to go from our heads down to our hearts. That You would take the truth of Your Word and sink it deep into the soil of our very souls. That we would carry these things with us, and that they would not just be ideas, but that they would be transformative truths that actually reveal themselves. That we would be obedient to You. We would live out the Ten Commandments. We would live out the Sermon on the Mount. We would live out the Beatitudes and all the things that You teach us of the Gospel. Do this for Your glory and Your name's sake, so that You would be glorified through us in the places that we go. In Jesus' name, amen.